1977.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
But you are not a Jedi yet.
Welcome to another episode of Quantum Recast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me is the lovely Allison Dale.
Hello.
And the handsome Nick Growall.
Oh, wow.
So flattering.
I have to start high on this episode.
It only goes downhill from here.
Okay. Listen, I'm just starting some compliments out. This one could get rough.
Corey, you're looking quite swole today, I will say.
Thank you.
You've been into the gym.
Yeah. Like, we're just going to compliment each other because it could end with guns drawn by the end. Because we're entering the most toxic fandom of all, Star Wars, for this episode. We're going to play a little game we like to play on this podcast every once in a while, Mary Sex Kill. Despite some comments, it's not the characters. We're not that nerdy and weird.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird.
That's odd. We don't want to marry, sex, or kill any fictional characters. We do it with franchises.
Yes.
We do it with films, you know, because every franchise has those movies that you love and the ones you hate and the ones you just like, I like this one, but I don't really want to tell my friends, you know.
This is my little secret.
And we're going to do that with Star Wars.
Yes.
This episode. Now, we're keeping it within the three trilogies. No standalone films.
Right. Like Rogue One and Solo.
Yeah, those are out. It's just
Clone War, all the TV shows, Mandalorian, another time, perhaps.
Yeah. So we're just taking the OG trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and the, I don't even know what they call the new trilogy.
Sequel trilogy. It's the sequel or the Disney trilogy.
Disney trilogy.
Often
okay,
what it's
fair.
Referred to.
Oh. All right. They need a cooler name.
Sequel's what I hear more often than not.
Okay, they need a cooler name. So
the Millennial Trilogy.
The Millennial Trilogy's great.
The let's just not have a plan for this trilogy.
Millennial works. It's for Millennials and the Millennial Falcon. It's all in it. The Millennium Falcon's just all through it. So.
You're right. Okay.
It's there. So, all right. Well, we need to talk about the Star Wars franchise.
Do we?
Yeah.
Well, for the uninitiated, is that what we're going for? If you've clicked on this and you have never seen Star Wars, congratulations.
Hey, you know what? Honestly, I kind of envy you.
It's impressive.
Not in any of this conversation.
That's kind of where I'm at now. When I meet someone that's like, you know, I've never actually watched any of the Star Wars movies. Like, and I'm just like, oh, wow.
No, I don't.
You're so pure.
They're great movies, but man, you're going to be in a lot of stupid conversations for the rest of your life. So,
so give a quick rundown, I guess. The original Star Wars obviously dropped in May 25th, 1977. Mm-hmm. And we had the original trilogy that ran all the way through to 1983. Then we had the prequel trilogy when George came back, said Star Wars all over again. We were excited. And then Phantom Menace dropped on May 19th, 1999. And that's really where the toxicity began, my friends. Little guy named Jar Jar, little smaller guy named Anakin.
Little child Jake Lloyd.
And then
it's that in the internet.
In the internet.
Came in right when this happened.
Yeah, the internet shows up. And you know, I feel like, and we'll get into that discussion, but he kind of figures it out, kind of doesn't. And then he sells it to Disney years later after thinking about making a sequel trilogy. He hands it to Disney, and Disney does what Disney does in the modern context. Some people were fine with it. A lot of people weren't.
I'm fine with it.
But that's Star Wars in a nutshell, I would say. It changed cinema as we know it. From 1977 on, everything is compared, and probably an effect has happened because of Star Wars. And we've been trying to replicate that magic ever since.
Yeah.
Just a big breath here before we dive in. I'll give some quick rundowns, if you will. We'll list the 9 movies that we are going to be pulling from. Again, Rogue One and Solo are not including those, or the animated Clone Wars movie was released.
That.
All the expanded universe
stuff. So, Star Wars, A New Hope, May 25th, 1977, Rotten Tomatoes score 93 critic, 96 audience. Pretty high standards there.
Yep.
Empire Strikes Back, May 21st, 1980, 95 critic score, 97 audience score. Return of the Jedi, May 25th, 1983, 83 critic score, 94 audience score.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Phantom Menace dropped in 99. It had a 52 critic score and a 59 audience score. That's the lowest so far. Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones, 2002, 65 critic score, Rotten Tomatoes fan score of 56.
Oh.
Revenge of the Sith, 79 Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 66 fan score. That one dropped in 2005. 10 years later, Force Awakens comes out with a 93 critic and 85 fan score. Last Jedi comes out with a 91 critic score, a 42 fan score. Probably the biggest divide, maybe. Yeah, because Rise of Skywalker in 2019, a 51 critic score, a 86 fan score.
That's wild.
It's very wild.
It's a weird flip.
Yes.
That is, and that's a major flip, too.
That's a major flip. So critics like Last Jedi.
Yes.
Hate Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Fans reversed it.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there was like a weird like retroactive like nerd like Star Wars fan that says, no, I always liked Last Jedi like a couple years ago.
Where it's was
like,
there?
I think so. I think it was a lot of people kind of coming back and saying like, no, I liked it. You know, I think it was when Rise of Skywalker happened.
Okay.
I think
everybody were quickly came back around. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, oh, because they crapped hard on Last Jedi.
They
and then
did.
They came out and Rise of Skywalker happened and like those people
maybe
hated
we were
it.
Too harsh.
Yeah. Were like, yeah, they hated it. Where I was just like, I like both. It's I like Pepsi
you,
and Coke.
Corey, you are one of the few people that I know that generally had a decent experience with the new trilogy.
I enjoyed seeing all three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but and I think it also has a lot to do with your, you like Kylo Ren as the character a lot, like his story and the and how they treated him.
Totally valid, too.
First hot take coming, I think the new trilogy is the strongest trilogy of the franchise.
Oh.
That is.
From first to third movie, it's just the strongest trilogy, in my opinion.
That's a strong,
yeah.
strong
I would watch that trilogy like front to end before I'd watch either of the other two front to end.
And this is interesting because, audience and Allie, because I've always viewed Corey as a original trilogy guy.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought you were.
I like the original trilogy a lot, but okay. I just think like the story the new trilogy told was just the most engaging and I liked it the most. And I think Kylo Ren's the best character that's ever been created by Star Wars.
Okay.
I could see that. I could agree with that because Kylo Ren really did have an incredible character arc.
Yes.
He's phenomenal. Yeah, he's, I mean, Adam Driver just did an excellent job with Kylo Ren. There's no doubt about that. I would not, yeah.
And I like Rey and Finn. I thought the casting was just really good wholeheartedly through.
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
I think the only misstep, which everything's going to have missteps, is they, you know, good gosh, Star Wars could never get Boba Fett right. And they could never replicate him despite multiple tries.
Yeah.
In the new trilogy, Boba Fett, which was the Captain Phasma, Phantasma. Oh.
Well, that was the thing is that the Star Wars itself, if it wasn't the creation of a trope, it was definitely like the one that cemented it. Like Boba Fett is the mysterious character in the background that everyone thinks is really cool. And you want the backstory about them. So then every major franchise was like, we need a Boba Fett. Like the Pirates movies has a Boba Fett. You know, you keep going down the line. And so even Star Wars is having to copy itself and go, we need a Boba Fett.
Well, like it's interesting. I've also seen like a new retroactive nerd thing where they're all saying Boba Fett's not that cool and we never thought he was that cool.
I've heard that, and
that's that contrarian attitude that makes this fandom toxic. It's just, what weird thing can I say on the internet? Oh, you know what? They brought Boba Fett back to life and you know what? He was never that cool. And it's just like, oh, whatever. Everybody thought he was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
We were all mad he went out like a punk.
Yes.
You know? And so, but like... And I would say that's the only miscasting that I don't love in the new one. Is like, I thought that was a weird, like, it's like, it felt like they were trying to create a new Boba Fett with this 8 foot tall silver stormtrooper.
Right. Yeah.
Played by Gwendolyn Christie, I think, of the
Game of Thrones.
And it just didn't work. And like, luckily the directors, I think, saw it didn't work right away and they just didn't go on with the character.
Yeah.
And so, but that's just, I don't know. That's just... I just bought something on your Alexa.
How dare you?
Probably a Captain Phasma action figure.
A Captain Phasma Funko Pop.
Okay, I'll say this. So Star Wars, like here's the best way to put it. Star Wars became a license to sell merch.
Yes.
It's the rock band Kiss of sci-fi. It's just what can we slap our name on and sell? And George Lucas loved that money. And we all saw that it's like when the prequels came, he was writing to sell merch, which is why Jar Jar Binks is a thing. But I think with every single Star Wars movie, You can go in a toy aisle and remember what didn't sell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Captain Phasmas were everywhere. No one bought them. And they were like, this is going to be the new Boba Fett. And we're like, no, it's not. TR-8R was right there. That was your new Boba Fett.
He was perfect. Especially for a series that was like, I've written my story. Now you write your story. Yeah. Like, tell me, why didn't Rian Johnson go, oh, that TR-8R guy is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Everybody really likes him.
Really going for him, you know? Like, let's
swap this out real quick.
And so,
can we get that guy back?
And so, I think, like, but to my point, I think, like, I really think the cast of the first, I don't know. I think the newest trilogy is the strongest trilogy. That's my hot take.
Okay. And we'll definitely be diving into that more, I think, once we reveal our Mary Sex and Kills.
Sure. Yeah.
Allie, are there any hot takes you want to bring out before we get started?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I can't think of anything right now, but I know they're going to come out when we do our Mary Six Kill.
Okay. The only thing I will say, just to jump off of what Corey's talking about, is that, yes, Star Wars is interesting because you have a guy who is an auteur filmmaker. Like, the most, you could argue, we have a lot of auteur, pretentious type of cinephile types now, and George Lucas was kind of that before that. Like, his THX movie, he was trying to, like, make all this high concept stuff. He really didn't have a major interest in, like, blockbuster cinema. He was just recreating things of his childhood, basically, which I guess is just what franchises are.
He was John Carpenter. It was just the same thing. Like, he accidentally created something that got away from him.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So. And so his entire, watching a lot of, like, the stuff and reading about it, you see that he's this guy that wants control of his story, and which is something he learned early on, was like, the studio is going to take that away from me. So once Star Wars itself, 77, was a success, he did everything in his power to make sure Empire, he did it as an independent filmmaker. And he almost had to go to the studio and get money to finish it. But luckily, it finished. It was successful. He made the third one. But
and he got a different director.
And it got a different director.
Irv Kirshner.
Yeah. And to Corey's point, that's about when it started shifting to, oh, I need to start thinking more in the mindset of what's going to sell. That's
a buttload of action figures.
Man. Like, the fact that that was half the deal was like, he was like, I get the rights to the toys. And they're like, sure, whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And he owns all the rights to it. So that's why he's making bukus of money, or did make bukus of money. But then you see, when the prequel trilogy comes out, it's a man that basically has yes men around him. And it's people gone are the people that he worked with in the 70s and 80s that said, that's a bad idea, George, maybe you shouldn't do that, to a bunch of people that treat him like a god, basically.
Yes. Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, well, it's there's books and documentaries essentially on people that were there, and they're like, oh, you just didn't tell him no.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm working with George Lucas on a new Star Wars.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to get fired over him saying something stupid like Jar Jar Binks is going to be the next Boba Fett. This guy's going to be huge.
It's a
you just smile and nod.
It's a very, like, what's that kind of, a weary tale, a warning kind of tale. Like, I don't know what the proper term is. You have to remind me, but. Because he is a man that went from trying to be an auteur, do it himself, to eventually, like, giving into the tropes of big money and trying to appease audiences and stuff. So much so that he sold it to the company that's all now is all about, like, pleasing demographics, selling toys, selling theme park tickets. Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, it's just he became Darth Vader is like the thing everyone always says is that he became what he hated.
That's
you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's pretty apt. So
cool. I know we're not ready to do this, but are we ready to do this?
Yeah, been looking forward to this.
What do we want to start with, Corey?
Dealer's choice. You tell me what to do.
I'm going to say we should ease into this and start with our sex. Because I feel like while there may be hot takes, it's a grain of salt. Because with your sex, it's your guilty pleasure. It's just the one that you're like, I enjoy this.
Yeah, I up top, I forgot to say, Mary Sex Kills, that game you played when you were a juvenile.
Yeah.
You know, usually about like, you usually did it with stupid stuff like Scooby-Doo characters.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, ow, Mary Shaggy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to sex Daphne. It's that. You know, it's just goofy thing. But we're doing it with movie franchises. And so Mary is pretty much our desert island. This is the one we will watch and take to our grave.
What we think is the best movie.
What we think is the best, the one we love the most. Sex is the one that's like, it's kind of our guilty pleasure, or it's like, we know it's not the best, but we love its flaws as well, you know, and then Kills the one like we just think doesn't belong and should not exist in this franchise.
Right, because usually we do. We've started this series of minisodes with horror movies, and your theory always is that there's a horror.
There's always one that shouldn't exist.
Right.
It's like non-canonical almost.
Yeah.
It's like some director just said, I'm going to be different. And it's like, okay, why?
And it's a little different with Star Wars, because it's that world where everything's connected and everything's, especially with the nine movies. But we're going to have fun with it. And we're gonna
stay friends after
And we're going to be friends afterwards. Corey, that backwards hat looks so great on you.
Let's just preface this by saying, like, we're all a little on edge because, again, the toxicity of this franchise is just so insane. But we're pretty level-headed people.
We try to be.
Yeah, like, I don't
do
know that.
Best.
Do any of us claim Star Wars is, like, their thing?
No. I mean, I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
don't
we love it.
I really enjoy it. I'll rewatch.
But you like Jurassic Park more than Star Wars, right? Isn't that like more of your thing?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that I like the franchise
as
a whole.
You just want to sex John Williams. That's your thing, right?
Like, that's fair.
Guys, I have an idea.
Like Mary Sex Killed John Williams scores.
Scores.
Oh, man. That would be controversial, probably. And Nick, it's not like your thing. I mean, you
I
like it, but
I like it. I think the thing is that it's always been existent in my life, and it's weirdly been a part of my life just being so tied into movies.
Yeah.
And I can get more into it as we get into this, but but I do, it's not the thing, but I think it's an important thing for any filmgoer, really.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's important to cinema. But like, we are a level-headed audience.
Right.
We're a little nervous about what we're about to say, but like, mainly, I'm worried about what the audience is going to say when they hear this, because there's some toxic Star Wars fans that listen to this.
Listen,
I know
if we get likes and dislikes and people reporting about us, that's
algorithm,
news, baby.
Baby.
All right. So, Nick, let's start off. Who do you want to go first here?
Not it.
Not it?
Wow. Thanks, guys. All right. You know what? Yeah.
Which
I'll
movie's
go
your
first.
One night stand, Allie?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So this has been one of my favorite, obviously one of my favorites. It has its flaws, but it is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
I had a really interesting experience the first time I watched it. I watched it with one of my older brothers. Both of my brothers are massive Star Wars fans. Okay. Like, I'm talking reading the extended universe. Like, they know, like, if I have a question about Star Wars, I go to my brothers.
Do not tell them to listen to this episode.
Well, thankfully, they're level-headed too. They're not toxic. They understand that the world doesn't revolve around Star Wars.
There's gonna be like a knock on my door one day, yeah, and then like your brother just punches me in the stomach and walks off.
Regards of the Dales.
No, so my and we're doing sex first, right?
Yes.
Revenge of the Sith, episode 3. I love Revenge of the Sith. General Grievous is one of my absolute favorite villains in all of Star Wars. I think he's such a badass. I love Anakin's entire arc, or entire, you know, turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. I think the entire scene of Mustafar is just fantastic. Even the speech that goes on between Anakin and Obi-Wan, I love it. I eat it up every single time. I could watch it over and over and over. It has its flaws. It's not perfect, but I love it so much.
Well, it came at the end. It's the third one in the prequels, yes, obviously. But I think, strangely, like, what people were saying at the time when it came out, I remember, was like, oh, George finally got it.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was trying to go for that Shakespearean tragedy kind of mindset with the prequels. But he was also, it's that catering with the kids. Like, the first one had Jar Jar, and everybody was kind of miffed about that. The second one had the whole romance thing that just felt stilted and problematic. But this one, like, he finally found some form of a balance with it. But it was also like, here's all the good stuff. Like, he's going to become Darth Vader. He's going to turn to the dark side. The Emperor is going to finally, like, reveal himself, even though everyone's like,
so
gee,
good,
I wonder who the Emperor is. He could be any one of us.
Yeah.
Well, Allie, as someone who has positive things to say about this movie, how did you feel about the, I mean, it's the controversial thing, right? The no that Darth Vader screams at.
Okay, so here's the deal. All right, and let me, just for some context, this is the first Star Wars movie that I actually vividly remember watching in theaters. I know I saw Phantom Menace. I think we watched it for my brother's birthday, because you mentioned May 19th. That was, yeah, it's my brother's birthday, so I'm sure we watched it. Did not see Attack of the Clones in theaters. Don't regret that. And Revenge of the Sith I did see in theaters, and I it was just a really interesting experience with my brother. So it came out, what, 2005, right?
2005, yeah.
I was almost 13 when it came out, and I didn't see anything wrong with it at the time.
Revenge of the Sith?
You know what? The no at the end.
Got it.
For me, it was kind of I teared up as a 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old watching it. But as I've gotten older,
so interesting to me.
Yeah,
I'm glad you say it. I really wanted your opinion on it, because you like this movie, and I really do think there's this weird line in Star Wars fans. What you have to just accept is there.
Yeah.
That would honestly solve like 90% of the arguments that Star Wars fans has, which is just your age.
Yeah.
Like, I know so many people that are just like 7 to 10 years younger than me that think the prequels are the greatest thing ever because that was their Star Wars movie.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Yeah.
That's what they watched when they were, that's their first thing. Mm-hmm. Me, I knew what Darth Vader was before, so the no was like, ugh, that seemed out of character for me.
I would agree on that page with you. I think I'm in between you and Allie in age-wise, but also like have the same general idea of like, I grew up watching the originals, and then Star Wars, the prequels, were kind of like what I watched from the end of like childhood into my teenage years and stuff. And so the no did kind of hit me awkwardly. And rewatching it even the other night, I was still like, I just wish that it had gone a different way. Like, I liked the Frankenstein like nods and stuff, him breaking everything with the Force. I think it also highlights George's reliance on the CGI at the time. Like, that scene could have hit so much harder if all that stuff is practical and it breaks and it shatters around him. The no, because up to that point, we don't really have like a vocally angry Darth Vader. Like, he has lines where he's very aggressive in the original trilogy and stuff, and this is the first time where he's really like, it's a scream. Like, you've never heard Darth Vader scream.
Yeah.
So like, I'm sure that's like, well, what does he do in this moment kind of thing.
So my point is like, you just have to accept that, like, I can totally get someone whose first experience with Star Wars was the prequels and being completely fine with the no.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say this. I think I've come to just be okay with it anytime I've seen it, like, in the recent past. It's just like the death of the humanity. It's like the last death groan of Anakin.
For sure.
And then it's done.
Yeah.
And now he's a half robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so...
Right. I think, for me, it was definitely... growing up in that, and maybe you've experienced that as well at the same time, and it might have been a little early for you, Allie, but growing up during the prequels coming out, the first Phantom Menace comes out, and you're generally, like, as a kid, you're like, that's fine. And then slowly, like we talked about, the internet kind of pushes out the idea of like, Jar Jar sucks, Jake Lloyd's a piece of shit.
God.
Like, this is wrong. And it's the nitpicking cinema sins of the world that has been birthed, I think, during the process of these movies being made, to the point that that's when we get become very critical of them.
You know, and it is what it is. Like, you get to an age where you realize, like, you have to, like, it's like even, like, we like pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and if you watch WWE, you have to accept the fact that, like, they really want to cater to 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
They want to sell action figures. They want to sell things. Mm-hmm. But they do a decent job also of, like, we also want to cater to the 30-year-old that has the disposable income to buy a $500 replica belt.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It's like they wave that line where it's like, Star Wars, the prequels seem to just say F you to the original fans a little bit. Like, they just kind of said, like, we just don't give, like, we just need people to buy toys, and we just think that's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I think it's just the internet was new, and they didn't recognize the fact that, like, the 30-year-old nerd was a thing and was going to be a thing, and that they were going to... I was, like, in middle school when the Phantom Menace came out. Like, I was 8th grade going to 9th grade. I couldn't find a Darth Maul action figure to save my life. I couldn't find the stupid lightsaber toy that had both ends because 30-year-olds were buying them in mass and selling them on this new thing called eBay.
I mean, honestly, like, that, it's probably between them and maybe the Trekkies and even maybe your KISS fans. Like, that's the first time you're experiencing adult fans that are buying memorabilia and toys. Like, the horror fans are doing the same thing at this time. So I'm sure, I'm sure nobody saw that coming of going, like, oh, we're making this for the kids, and the parents will take the kids to the movies. And you didn't think, oh, no, the parents are going to be the ones that are going to watch this.
I just think the prequels, like, that's a flaw. It's like, it's the timing's bad, and maybe it is a little bit of, like, a director who just doesn't want to let go of his thing.
Yeah.
He wants the... It's Vince McMahon in wrestling. It's like, you have to, like, go, I'm a little antiquated. What's cool now? Someone tell me what the market looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just thinking you know everything, because they could have, like, done enough research to say, like, well, I just watched the documentary Trekkies, and there's a lot of nerdy adults out there just dropping money, like, on this crap. So maybe we can go a little hard in the paint here, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, maybe we can, like, gritty this up a little bit.
Well, that's what's so. Just to piggyback off of what we're talking about, and Ali's choice of Revenge of the Sith, my sex choice, my guilty pleasure is Phantom Menace.
Okay,
totally fair.
And I think a lot of it does play into some of that nostalgia a little bit, like.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, like we're talking about right now, after this prequels came out, there was this period of time where everybody shunned them. And then even when Force Awakens came out, it was designed as an apology letter to fans of, like, we're sorry that happened. We're making this like Star Wars, like you remember again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously there's been some time has passed, and it's suddenly shown, like, oh, wait, no, there are things to enjoy about these movies for sure. And that one is a weird hodgepodge of things because it's him getting introduced to a lot of CGI, but he's still using a lot of practical sets and effects and stuff. So there's still some of that original Star Wars going on, but you're getting that influx of, we've got to make Jar Jar really funny to sell the kids.
Yeah.
It's the Ewok in blown to on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
Because for every Jar Jar quip there is, there's the Padre sequence, which is really well put together.
It's well put together, but okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's
the pod sequence, the duel at the end, the design of Darth Maul just being a badass. Hot take, they shouldn't have killed him. Obviously, he in the lore.
Oh, that's not a hot take. That's just universally agreed upon.
Like, we were like, why did you do this?
We resurrected him in the cartoon.
This is where somebody should have said, you really shouldn't kill him because he's kind of cool.
This is your Boba Fett.
Yeah, this
sir.
Is the guy. Yeah. This is your Darth Vader for the next three movies.
Yes. Also, Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn was
Liam
also
Neeson
fantastic.
As Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, there's a lot of groundwork that you have to do in that first movie to get these three movies to even work. And between Qui-Gon Jinn and the casting of Obi-Wan, I guess, Ewan McGregor, like, you're planting things in place because Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan is the unsung hero of that entire trilogy. Like, he is the most consistent through all three movies and kind of carries that movie on his shoulders for the most part.
Also, the Phantom Menace had that really neat poster, too, of Jake Lloyd, like, kind of walking, and then his shadow is Darth Vader.
My personal history with Phantom Menace was, this was late childhood era of Nick, where we were just starting to get to watch adult/live action movies. I'd watched Star Wars movies. I'd grown up watching franchises like that. But for some reason, Darth Maul looking like the devil, I was not allowed to watch Phantom Menace when it came out in theaters. I had to wait till it came out on VHS, sat down and watched it as family. Oh, turns out it's fine.
Fran.
I know. But it was so much so that I bought, like, a Scholastic novelization of the book in between the time. And when I read that Darth Maul dies, I was like, I was in denial. I was like, he's fine. He's gonna be, this dude's too cool. But it's a lot of nostalgia for me. But, and that's, I think, why it's the guilty pleasure, just because, like, there is, for all the, like, what we would consider, like, these, the trash, the bad, the out of context jokes and stuff, like, there is a lot of fun, really good sci-fi stuff hidden in there.
I think also with the Phantom Menace, for like me personally, because I 99, I was seven. My brothers watched Star Wars growing up, but me being the little sister who just wanted to rewatch Beauty and the Beast and Jurassic Park over and over again, I never had an interest in it. But I will say, when this is really silly, but when Weird Al came out with The Saga Begins, that actually made me want to go watch Star Wars. Yeah, like I remember us watching the music video. I don't know why. My dad loves that song. He thinks, even though my dad doesn't like Star Wars, my mom's the Star Wars.
Okay.
But hey, yeah, that was one that got me into Phantom Menace, and here I am today. Thanks, Weird Al.
Good job, Al.
Yeah.
He wrote two great banger Star Wars songs. There's also Yoda in the style of Lola.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
That's a good one as well. Corey, your thoughts on Phantom Menace? You were ready, but you gave me time and I appreciate it.
Well, Phantom Menace is also my sex.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Hey!
Hey! Different reasons, though. I'm not a nostalgia person.
Got it.
I am very much of the theory that nostalgia is not based in you think something from the past is good. You just miss the past.
Mm.
You just miss being 10.
Okay.
Is what you miss.
Yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong, we can watch things like Little Giants and still enjoy it.
Sure.
You know, but it's still just more like, it's really just, I liked being 10.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That was great. Life was awesome.
Yeah.
No idea what's going
on. No responsibilities.
And no responsibilities. And there were two adults with money that just got me things. And so, but I pick Phantom Menace solely. I actually hate Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn. I think it's sucky.
Right.
I don't even know that he knew he was in a Star Wars movie.
But isn't that what makes it better?
Natalie Portman was a horrendous casting choice. I hate all of it.
So what do you love about that?
Jake Lloyd, that's nothing new. That's nothing new.
No, no.
And like, I don't mind bashing because I think he made one of the best Christmas movies of all time. So I praise Jake Lloyd for that, for Jingle All the Way. But
just, he should have stuck to his lane.
No, yeah, it's just, he literally plays the same character. It's just, I get Lucas is probably saying, we have to show this kid
as an
antithesis
of
what Darth Vader is, but I'm like, just cast the moody kid.
He had the chance. We've seen the footage. We've talked about this.
There's literally test footage of the three finalists for Anakin, and like, it's the kid who goes on to play in Sky High, Mike,
I know who you're talking about.
He was incredible.
Really?
He got the assignment. He
nailed it.
He is playing like there is something.
There's some darkness
dead
going
inside
on.
Of me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I love it. I hate that Boba Fett was originally apparently in the script.
Oh, really?
Or they were going to canonize them eventually as they share the same mom.
Yeah, like half-brothers.
No, yeah, like Jango was supposedly, is the you know, because they try the Immaculate Conception. He's pure midichlorian, and canon of midichlorians.
Yeah.
But there was like an original idea that Jango Fett is the father of Darth Vader, that he came to that planet, is the father, moved on, which would make Boba Fett and Darth Vader half-brothers.
Got it, right.
Which would explain why people think Boba Fett is force sensitive.
Okay.
In the same way that people think Han Solo is force sensitive.
Listen, we were just watching Return of the Jedi, and the fact that Lando is flying through a Death Star at breakneck speed and not crashing.
It's so cool.
He's got to have some force sensibilities going on there.
I liked the idea. And also because Empire lays the seeds that Darth Vader and Boba Fett have a lot of past.
Yeah.
He focuses on Boba Fett on all the conversations. There's clearly past there.
Yeah.
You know, but George said, nope, I would rather it be Anakin build C-3PO. That was the rewrite. As legend goes, because they needed to connect to the original trilogy, and he said, I would rather it be that Darth Vader built the robot.
So before you go into what you like about Phantom Menace.
I think Phantom Menace is great for no other reason than Darth Maul, and it's the best lightsaber fight in all nine movies.
You're not wrong.
It is the greatest. It is just for the last 20 minutes alone. Like, why we're having plots about trade federations and like this kind of politics is beyond me while we're trying to sell toys. But like, that lightsaber fight is the coolest thing.
Right.
It was in Duel of Fates. Hot take. It's the best thing that came out of Star Wars musically.
I got real nervous there for a second, Corey. When you said it's stupid, I was about to...
No, it's stupid.
Duel of Fates is the best number from Star Wars. Even better than the opening thing.
The opening fanfare, Imperial March.
Duel of Fates gets you pumped.
It hits.
It's a workout song.
There's a reason it's played before sporting events.
Man, the chorus and everything behind, it's so good. It's so solid.
I will say this about the Duel of Fates lightsaber duel itself, is that, and there's something that Freddie Prinze Jr. pointed out after working under all the Star Wars guys, was that that fight is so integral as well story-wise, because whoever wins decides the literal fate of Anakin.
Yeah.
You know, if Qui-Gon lives, there's a potential he knows how to train Anakin, being this outsider, being this guy who's not just so a fundamentalist of Jedi mindset that he's able to go like, yeah, you got some anger, we got to work through that, versus now you have young Obi-Wan trying to grow up but also be like, I got this kid brother basically that I have to like make sure he's gonna go crazy.
Yeah,
I never thought of that.
He's putting a roll of power too soon.
That's what the literal duel of fates is it's the fate of Anakin.
Put that together.
Yeah, that's it's a wild Freddie Prinze Jr. spelt it out with the guy who's in charge of the Clone Wars and everything.
Also really suck at picking up on stuff like that. I'll be completely honest. Well, you know,
you're watching a sci-fi adventure movie, and there's a lot of thought that goes into these type of things, but it's not until the second or third time or like having conversations with friends that you're like, oh yeah, that is true. That's a really big point.
As a 7-year-old, I'm not going to be thinking about that. You know what I mean?
You know, guys, I was in, like, we're talking about 99. I'm in 8th grade, going to 9th grade, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is the hottest man on the planet. You can't go out with girls your own age because they're all crushing on Freddie Prinze Jr.
That's true.
And she's all, that's the best movie of all time. And you know what, girls? He grew up to be me.
He grew up to be us.
He likes pro wrestling, and he loves Star Wars.
Yeah, he trained under George Lucas and Dave Filoni.
I don't even know if he played high school sports. Yeah. It just seems like he's really into D&D.
Please come on the podcast, Freddie. We enjoy
you. You're one of us.
One of us. But no, but that's the thing, is like, a lot of people want to be like, oh, it's just a bunch of flips and stuff, and there's not, a lot of people want to go back to the traditional Luke versus Vader and the Empire Strikes Back, which is a great lightsaber fight, and there's a lot of pathos and storyline going on, but it's more about the mythology of it all versus like the choreography and everything.
No, it's that lightsaber fight's just ridiculous. It's the three-way fight, and like, Ray Park is perfectly cast.
Yeah.
So good.
Killing
Darth Maul. And yes, it is a grave... I think killing Darth Maul is worse than what they did to Boba Fett in Return of Jedi. It's like, he could have been just a trilogy villain.
Yeah.
The last fight on, you know, Mustafar or whatever it's called, should have been a three-way fight.
That's what I was going to say. You literally have Darth Maul trying to prove himself all trilogy long to Sidious, being like, I'm your guy, this punk kid.
And if you tell John Williams, give us a Duel of Fates 2, a new song that's just as hype but calls back to the first one, we're all in.
And you've got you've got Obi-Wan and Darth Maul with the blood feud for killing his master.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan struggling with that. You've got Maul trying to fight off Anakin, be like, I'm not going to be replaced. This dude isn't on my level.
The rule of two.
Yeah.
If Anakin takes the dark side, it's now I have to kill Darth Maul or be killed by Darth Maul.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's the rule of two.
And I get the concept that George was going for of like, here's Dooku, who's Grievous. They're all sort of hinting at the future of Anakin in their own sort of way. But Darth Maul was too good for this earth.
Gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Plus the pacing in that scene is really cool too, when the shields come down.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's
more than a sword fight. It's just awesome.
You're anticipating. Yeah. Oh. Dang it.
And we're not going to talk about, we might
in
a second.
And it's also this. It's like, I think in terms of a lightsaber battle, it's the one time you're like, the villain's literally the best person here.
Yeah.
He is literally the most dangerous person. This is like a kung fu fight and Bruce Lee's waiting on the other side of that thing, pacing back and forth, and you're like, this guy's going to kick my ass. this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, but he pulls out the win, so it's bigger, you know?
For sure.
The better man lost, technically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Dang.
It's him and Vader in Empire, I would say both of them. It's like, because Vader is toying with Luke at that point, really, because he knows. He's like, this is my son. I don't want to kill him, but I'm kind of got to. So, yeah.
Right,
I'm glad we're all kind of on a similar page with Phantom Menace.
I hate most of that movie, but the ending is so
good. Were you in the room with us when we watched the Phantom edit?
Maybe. I was in our house for a lot of weird Star Wars things. Like, I remember the machete order.
Yeah.
I remember
this might predate the time we lived together, but we watched the Phantom edit, which is a editor in Hollywood has made it, put it together. He took out all the yippies. He took out a lot of Jar Jar antics, took out a lot of the politic talk, and it feels so good.
To watch that one.
The first time you're expecting that Jar Jar thing and it doesn't happen, and we're just moving right along, and Jar Jar's still there. It's not like he erased him. It's just that he's now Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, wow, this is so much better. And the most interesting thing, not to get too caught on the tangent, is that by taking out the yippies and stuff, he also edits in the way that makes Anakin as a child less of like, oh shucks, we'll just see what happens, I'm pushing buttons here, too. He's honing into the Force. When he gets into the starfighter to take off, it's like he suddenly goes, wait, okay. Yes. Click, click, boom. And you're like, oh, he's already figuring it out.
Which is cool. It's a callback to Luke not looking through the visor and just taking the shot.
Yep.
You know? Man.
And so, it's that stuff. But like, oh, by the way, just the last thing before we move on to marry or kill or whatever. But the pod racing.
Yeah.
I get it's beloved. To me, it's like a whole episode of something crammed into the middle of a movie.
That's fair.
It's just like, wow, we really stuck with this whole pod racing thing for a good 40
We're going to sell the shit out of that 64 video game.
I was like, wow, this is taking a minute. All right. This is We put a Fast and the Furious movie in the middle of this. Yeah,
on the Tatooine sand. We can't get away from Tatooine, so, guys.
I will give you that. Growing up in the desert, that was the worst part of watching that movie, was just all the sand everywhere. I hated it.
It's coarse and it gets everywhere. Oh, well, speaking of things you hate, it's time to talk about The Kill.
Are we going back in order? Are we?
I don't care whoever wants to take. Corey. I'll go first because I think I have a pretty uninspired answer.
Okay.
Take episode 2 or 3. I could care less. One or the other. They're both bad to me. I don't love them. And I don't have any like new takes. I hate them for the same reason everyone hates, or the people that hate them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is people my age, yeah. You know, for the most part.
People of the age.
Yeah, that just the prequels kind of just fail. I think Phantom Menace was all right, and I think they just got worse as they went.
Yeah.
I don't like Hayden Christensen. I'm pumped that he's getting his second shot.
Sure.
At redemption, and I like that. I think that's I love that for the fandom, like to say, let's give him another shot.
It's more of an apology than it is like a redemption, to be honest.
And it's just, he was fine. And to me, again, I think sometimes I look at the prequels as pro wrestling. It's like the performers just show up and Vince McMahon tells them what to do.
Right.
And they do what they can with
George Lucas wrote the stilted lines. He gave the stilted blocking a performance.
Yeah, Hayden Christensen's proven to be a perfectly
capable actor.
Yeah,
actor,
you know? And so it's just like, it's not his fault.
No.
It just sucks. You know, that like, that's what he got. I don't think him and Natalie Portman really had any chemistry, but I just don't think Natalie Portman has chemistry, period, in any movie she's in.
Oh, hot take.
I'm not a fan.
A real hot take.
Personally, she's fine. It's whatever. Whatever. So I just don't like those two movies. And the only original thing I might say is they just don't feel like Star Wars because, again, I'm an original trilogy kid. I was at that age when that stupid gold VHS box set came out that I think was in everybody's home.
Yeah.
That was the Darth Vader helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the original trilogy a few years before this came out, and Star Wars, it's dirty space. It's like space that's been lived in for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, used future.
The two new ones, or like episode 2 and 3, felt like too shiny. It felt like it hadn't been lived in that long. Everything felt sleek and sexy. I didn't like it.
What was the CGI?
It's the CGI.
Yeah, that's valid.
Too clean.
Yeah.
Everything's too. They didn't learn how to put dirt on stuff yet.
It's a little Uncanny Valley type of thing. You're like, I feel like I'm in
the worst offender of those is Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
like it's him fully doing mostly CGI stuff, and that's a burden on the actors who are not used to that, and it's a burden on just like the aesthetic, like you're talking about with the Star Wars universe.
And I love the man. I just don't know why the hell Samuel Jackson's in Star Wars movies.
Because he's Samuel Jackson. He's in everything.
It took me out. Like, it's like, that is mother effing Samuel L. Jackson sitting at the Jedi. No. And he's Samuel L. Jackson. He's not putting on an accent. He's just, I don't love it. I hate Mace Windu as a character, and I don't like the casting.
I'm going to partially disagree. And in this conversation, you know, there also comes the idea of like representation, obviously, and stuff. And like, I think having a strong Jedi character on the forefront that's played by a popular actor, if you had Denzel in that same spot, it's gonna, you might have the same argument of like, I can't remove Denzel, I can't remove Will Smith from it.
Just give me the guy that plays Jar Jar and give him something that's not so insulting.
That's fair.
Let him
dual role the thing, and then I'm not out of it. And then years later, I'm like, it's the same guy, and that's fun. So instead, it's just,
he also got a redemptive moment.
He heard that he got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Apology tours.
I guess for me, even though, like I said, I did not watch Attack of the Clones. Honestly, I think I've seen Attack of the Clones maybe twice because I disliked it so much the first time. It's like, it's just, if I'm going to rewatch the entire saga, I'm leaving out two movies. Like, hands down, I will not rewatch them. But for me, I guess with Mace Windu and just Sam L. Jackson, I didn't see any movies that he was in until I was older. So for me, it didn't bring me out of the moment at all. I didn't think, oh, wow, that's Sam Jackson. I'd have to look through his filmography, but I can't think of one movie I watched before the prequels.
Oh, I've seen
Jurassic
Park.
Oh, Jurassic Park. Damn. I forgot. Yeah.
He's in Jurassic Park.
He is the only black man in Jurassic
Park.
That's
so embarrassing.
Also,
oh my
god. He's the only black man in Star Wars.
Hey, Lando Calrissian's there.
Lando. Wow.
Okay, in the prequels.
Okay, so other than Jurassic Park, I don't think God, here I am calling myself a fan.
I don't know. I don't know. I just, those two movies didn't click with me. They felt like, I felt like Phantom Menace was more Star Wars than 2 and 3.
I'll agree with that. When we talk about Star Wars, the spirit of Star Wars, Phantom Menace still has it, and then Attack of the Clones, it slips up a lot. I personally think Revenge gets back on track a bit. Attack of the Clones' biggest issue to me is that everything with Obi-Wan is interesting and engaging, but anything with the romance between Padme and Anakin just does not work because
they're so brutal.
And I've told this to people before, like, had you have given them action to like develop their relationship with each other. Like they're on the, like a bounty hunter's chasing them. They're on the run. They have to go hide out in Tatooine again for some reason because no one seems to look there. But I think that would have been more engaging.
It's the Outer Rim, Nick. All right.
I guess nothing's out there. Tatooine, Jakku.
It's where the bounty hunters go, man. It's
why
just...
all the desert planets?
Because no one wants them.
That's true. Yeah.
God. You know?
The spice must flow.
The only time the Empire goes there is because they just know there's two droids there. That they're just like... And you can tell those...
Why is it always you two?
And you can tell it's like the stormtroopers are just like, I hate this assignment. This sucks.
It's like the whole combing the desert in Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, this sucks. Like 1A8 and 247, you're going to Tantum. Ah, damn it.
We have found shit.
So, Allie, I'm going to request you go next for your kill.
No, Nick's got something to say.
I'm killing Rise of Skywalker, hands down, no questions asked. Okay. That's without a doubt. Because here's the deal. So Attack of the Clones was my least favorite one. Yeah. And like I said, I have only watched it maybe two or three times since it came out in theaters. Rise of Skywalker, okay. Rise of Skywalker was, I don't even know like where
Corey's
to start
unplugging
with it.
His ears. Or is plugging his ears.
I'm so sorry. Here's the deal. First off, if you enjoyed the film, genuinely, I'm happy for you. Like, I don't want it to seem like I'm just crapping on it, but it backtracked so many things that had been established in the previous two movies. And that is something that I don't know, it felt like a slap in the face to those of us who did enjoy The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. It felt like the research wasn't done. It felt like Disney was like, oh no, we did something that people don't like. And so we're going to need to bring J.J. Abrams back and figure this out. And it just,
an overreaction.
It was an overreaction. It didn't feel, J.J.'s not the greatest at coming up with endings. And I can't stand it. I have seen it once. It was in the theaters and I have not seen it yet since. Like even just preparing for this, I was trying to think, do I actually want to rewatch it? And instead I just read the Wikipedia synopsis because I have no interest in rewatching it. Plus the fact that JJ, I mean, at one point they do the whole, they fly now. And they even say, they have flown before. It felt like there wasn't enough research done. There wasn't enough love by JJ Abrams. I don't know. That's just, Rise of Skywalker. I'm killing that.
All right. Now, Nick, your turn.
Sorry.
So,
didn't know you were both going to do this, but fun.
So, Corey, I'm just going to straight up be like, I apologize.
Like, the Attack of the Clones is a movie, guys. Like, y'all can kill it, please. But, how is Attack of the Clones not going to be on this damn list?
The thing about Attack of the Clones, Corey, is that it's bad, but it follows a plan.
Yes.
I guess.
And there's an intention there. It's being consistent in some form of telling the story with the rest of the movies of that trilogy. There's a lot that can be forgiven, especially after watching the last movie. So before I really say what I got to say, I'm going to fully admit, and first off, apologize to Corey. I did not mean for him to sit in this chair and just have to take this. And I'm going to admit, you know, when this movie came out, it was a tumultuous period of my life. I'm not going to dive too far into that, but it's there. And even after 5 years, with more time to kind of sit and process it, this is just my honest, subjective opinion that episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, is, in my very humble personal opinion, everything wrong with modern franchise filmmaking. It's a rushed production, an overreaction to the divisive nature of Last Jedi, like Ali was talking about. I feel like they played it safe and catered to the worst parts of the fan base that we've touched upon.
Ouch.
cool. Again, I'm excluding Corey from this because your take is different than most people's takes, because a lot of people either love Last Jedi or they hate it, and there's this schism that occurred. And those same people flipped. They loved Rise of Skywalker and they hated Last Jedi, kind of thing. But where with The Last Jedi, I felt like it was trying to challenge its audience and move the franchise and the genre forward, Rise of Skywalker just relied on nostalgia, fan service, and it just tried and failed to please as many demographics at once. Like, all that aside, it's also just a failure of storytelling to me. Like, the stakes are non-existent. Multiple times, characters are killed off just to come back minutes later. MacGuffins just don't make sense to me. Like, they come out of nowhere, or like the logic and time frame of them don't come together. Plot twists and character changes or about faces are just there for shock value, it feels like, and without any consideration to like the story and characters themselves. And a lot of new characters introduced just to sell toys, which I get that this is a sci-fi adventure series for all ages. Like we talked about with the prequels, it's generally geared to kids. They're gonna sell the toys. And pleasing every Star Wars fan is impossible. But it's just the way that this film, in my opinion, almost makes every wrong choice possible and intentionally tears down all the possibilities and the new ground that Last Jedi laid out before it is as incredible as it is heartbreaking for me. You asked me earlier, how close is this series to me? I think I would be lying if I didn't say there was a part of me that is a Star Wars kid, that it's very integrated into me. And I think now you're trying to, for me now, like I was the franchise kid, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, all of the above, Pirates, Matrix, Lord of the Rings after it. I was a franchise guy. And this was a point in my life where basically, like, the best way I can explain it is like The Last Jedi was fresh. It made me feel like a kid again. Like it felt like Star Wars as I remembered as a child, and Rise of Skywalker kind of just ripped my heart out, stomped on it, and said, "You're going to like your regurgitated steroid ripoff of Return of the Jedi and like it." Apologies to you, Corey. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
So I know that Ali was like, "I'm sorry to all the fans that like it." Everyone except Corey, I have no apologies for you.
Oh, well.
Okay. All right.
Because I know you have a different take from it.
I'll get to when we get to Mary.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So are we done with our kills at this point in time? I think we've covered. Everybody's said theirs, right? You said the twos. Yeah,
episode two or three.
And we said those. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's try to move positively in this direction. Corey,
which
Corey,
one's our favorite? Yeah, which one's the best?
Yeah, which one's the best?
I haven't gone first. Should I go first?
You went first last time.
I went first the first time. Somebody else go first.
I'm very torn, and that's my problem with my Mary. It's between like being like old school and wanting to say Empire, but then part of me also tugging at the heartstrings of Last Jedi. I'm torn between the two of them.
Okay.
And I think that they're both like the top tier of the series.
Yeah.
Empire, I think, is the most consistent from beginning to end, and I think that it nails the entire idea of a sci-fi fantasy. Like, because before this, you have Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, and it's George Lucas trying to bring it. It does what Lord of the Rings did for fantasy movies
to
me.
It's almost like sequels are fucking good. It's almost like, why do people think I'm weird for loving sequels? It's like, and thinking the middle movie of every franchise is awesome.
Well, it highlights all the points that you always make in our defense of the sequels, these episodes you should watch and listen to, is that once you get the first movie out of the way, the world building, you're allowed to play in the sandbox. The characters are established, the world is established, and now it's all about character
and
development.
Entertaining movie. Yeah.
But I think, that's why everyone always says this is the Empire Strikes Back of the series. This is the Godfather 2 of the series. Like, they're always hearkening back to this one because it does it heightens the genre. It makes it something serious to be taken seriously, and it allows for us to move forward beyond what the normal happenstances of what came before. You had your Flash Gordons. Planet of the Apes, for all its benefit, was a bunch of dudes in like some very not so aged well masks, ape masks, basically. Yeah. Like, you can't. It's hard to watch those and really remove your brain from it a lot of the time, but with the original Star Wars, and especially Empire Strikes Back, you're like, you're in it, you're in the world. They have nailed the aesthetic, they have nailed the characters, and this also allowed them to expand on the mythology and the religion of the Jedi and the Force. So you're just getting all the best pieces of Star Wars, I think. Now,
are you being a polygamist and trying to marry both?
Part of me wants to, but that's the car. It's like, it does everything right. And Last Jedi is so bold in what it's trying to do. It's also taking the steps from Empire and everything that comes after it and trying to go, okay, we've done this song and dance. Let's go in a different direction. Let's move. Let's introduce a lot of different themes and ideas to our Star Wars, to our science fiction, beyond just like spaceships and stuff and mythology building and hero's journey aspects. Mm-hmm. So with Last Jedi, you're talking, the theme generally is about failure and learning to grow from that and our mistakes of the past. Empire is a lot about sacrifice. Han Solo sacrifices himself twice, at the beginning to save Luke in the winter storm, and then to turn himself into carbonite, and then the friends sacrifice themselves to get Han back. With the problem with Last Jedi, I think it's a great film, obviously, with my take on Rise of Skywalker standing. I think that, like Corey talked about with Phantom Menace, with the pod racing, I think the casino world, Canto Bight, I think its issue is that it's that piece. It's like, this feels like an episode of a thing. Corey put it best. Like, it feels like an episode from some outlier thing that could happen.
Yeah.
I appreciate that there was a B story for Finn and like his arc that was going on, because the in Force Awakens, he's very much like just the runaway. He just wants to get away. And the only reason he comes back is to save his friends. And Last Jedi, it truly affirms his status as a rebel leader and resistance member. because he was already trying to run away just to save Rey or go find her. And it's through that process of his B story that we get him finally committing to the cause. But that's everything else about that movie is like pitch perfect, nails it. I don't care what your takes are on force abilities and stuff, or the fact that they kill off third tier characters like Admiral Akbar, like it's nothing. He's a fun alien creature. He's not Han Solo, guys. I'm sorry. Like he's not even Boba Fett.
Were people actually upset about that?
People were online being like, I can't believe they killed off Admiral Akbar just
he
like that. I'm like,
he has like one line.
He's
in the
a fun meme,
trilogy.
Guys. He's a fun meme.
He has the line in the original trilogy.
Okay.
Show some respect.
Next to
I am your father, it's a trap, is it?
That's going to be the one thing that people come after me for, is just that
How
one.
How dare you
yeah.
disrespect their lord and savior, Admiral Akbar.
Admiral Akbar.
I think, like, I don't know why. I didn't know people were mad about Admiral
yeah.
Akbar.
Well,
I feel like
it's more of an example
awesome.
Of, like,
you go down like a G, man.
Yeah, it's more of an example of just, like,
what do we need
at
the end credits celebrating? No, it goes down in
my
the
issues,
war.
My issues with Rise of Skywalker really come down to storytelling elements versus, like, X-Wings can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I
because, again, we're talking about a fictional story in space.
Yeah.
Where planes should be doing this anyway.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So. You're supposed to suspend your belief and just
and
have
get,
fun
and
with
I get
it.
That
it's about space wizards, people.
Right, thank
I mean,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and I get that there's a world building where you're like, you've established rules within your world, but there's, if anything, The Last Jedi, and even Rise of Skywalker, I will say there is pieces of it that continue to expand on powers of the Force and things of that nature. And that's okay. It's okay. People do in Phantom Menace, they were doing flips they never did in the original trilogy because we didn't have the technology to do it, you know? So if I'm going to, I will play the old school person and I will stick with Empire. So I leave you two to play from there.
Ellie, would you like to go next? Would you like to go last?
It's up
to you.
Mine is pretty much just piggybacking off of Nick. So it's whatever.
Okay.
So it is Empire?
All right. So, it was what?
So it's Empire?
Yeah. No, it's not Empire. So, I was kind of struggling with the same thing, which, hot take, I prefer Return of the Jedi over Empire.
Ooh,
but I was trying to decide between that and Last Jedi. And you know what? The Last Jedi is more rewatchable for me. Now, I'm not saying it's a perfect movie, and I know that's kind of the whole point about Mary, is that it's your favorite of the entire series. I don't think it's the best movie out of the entire saga. I'll be fully honest about that. However, I enjoy it the most. It is so good. It has some of my favorite scenes throughout all of Star Wars. Mm. The entire scene of Luke and Yoda, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, where, you know, talking about the sacred texts and all of that kind of stuff. It's such a beautiful moment with and it was also the puppet, wasn't it? I just rewatched
it
last night.
Puppet.
I should remember this.
Yeah, they went practical.
They went practical, which I thought was awesome. It also has some of my favorite shots of all time. Like when is it General Hoda's is Laura Dern's character? Is that her
Holdo,
name?
Holdo. Yeah.
Holdo? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm also really terrible with names, so y'all please forgive me. But when she goes into hyperspeed and destroys the ship, it's so freaking cool. Like, it's just, the shots are really neat. The planets are really cool. The ending with Kylo Ren and Luke Skywalker projecting himself, which, by the way, spoilers, sorry. But
I think we're well beyond spoilers at this point.
An hour in, spoiler alert. But I enjoy it a lot. Now, granted, it does have its flaws, and I'm more than willing to talk about that. The whole casino sequence, I'm not a fan of. I also feel like Rian Johnson kind of messed up Finn's storyline, because in the Force Awakens, he is this runaway, you know, he's this self-aware runaway stormtrooper, and I thought that would be really interesting to try and expand on, and he ended up not really going anywhere. Same with Phasma. That was another, because she's killed. Snoke was another one, although that scene in the Red Room is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got its issues. It's not perfect, but I it's the one I rewatched the most.
Yeah. Finn is definitely, as great as the Kylo Ren storyline is in those trilogies, I think Finn is probably the biggest ball drop of that trilogy.
I'd agree.
Especially considering where they were going to go with it, with the original script and stuff before JJ took over, where it was really going to bring it all full circle, where he is basically leading a resistance of stormtroopers. It all comes back around. But yeah, I agree with you on all those points. I don't think it's like a perfect movie by any means, but there's so many highs that are so great about it.
Yeah.
Corey.
So I'm like going to marry Empire. Like, Empire's the movie. It's the perfect Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So there's no new ground there, like, to say. But I'll say this, I think it's tied with The Rise of Skywalker for me in terms of just movies I enjoy. Star Wars movies I enjoy.
I really, out of pure curiosity, I want you to expand on that.
So yeah, I would like a chance to just at least say why I like The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And I just like the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
I was a very like unicorn of a Star Wars fan, I feel like, when this trilogy was happening, because I left the theater happy 3 times.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was the only one.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so I left Force Awakens, and it was just showers of, well, they just remade New Hope. And it's like, yeah, but it's cool.
The thing about Force Awakens was that it was, again, like we talked about, it was resetting the table, a palate cleanser, going, and we all kind of had this agreement walking out going, yes, we're aware it's a New Hope all over again, but with the promise that there's going to be new stuff with these new characters.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked it. And then I left Last Jedi, and I feel like everyone was crapping on it. You know, I'm not saying y'all did. I just feel like I remember a lot of negativity around Last Jedi.
Yeah, there was.
Because in my opinion, a lot of the reasons you guys seem to hate Rise of Skywalker is because it went on its own path after Last Jedi. I felt like everybody hated Last Jedi because it did not follow Force Awakens in any trajectory. Rian Johnson, in my opinion, made an incredible standalone Star Wars movies that does not fit the trilogy. It's Die Hard 2, in my opinion. Die Hard 1 and 3, they're connected.
Yeah.
And Die Hard 2 is, it's a standalone movie that I still love and think it's great.
Because
it's just, it's still Die Hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like Last Jedi is its own thing. Again, the only thread I seem to like really like think that they got right through the whole thing is Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren's the thread that keeps a trilogy that kind of goes here, then it goes way off track, then it tries to come back on a track. And so it's really jumbled, but Kylo Ren's the thing that like holds it together. It seems like every other character got rewritten, they didn't know where to go with it. It's like, I don't know if it's because Oscar Isaacs became a bigger deal while these movies were being made that they said, let's move away from Finn and like really give Oscar a thing, you know, more screen time. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently
he was supposed to be killed off. Like when he crashes in Force Awakens, like that was supposed to be it. Like it was going to be a one-off thing.
But it seems like he's the guy that leads the rebellion.
Yeah. You know,
and maybe took Finn's spot in that story.
And a lot of people want to place him as like their attempt at Han Solo of that trilogy, and I'm sure that in a way, yes, but he's the hotshot pilot academy guy. He's Maverick of Top Gun.
He's
not Han Solo.
No,
I don't think the movie tried to replicate Han Solo, which I thought was a good move.
No, that's
smart.
That is, I would say, the secret ingredient to the original trilogy is Han Solo, because without his irreverent, like cynical rogue kind of acting as the audience surrogate, you know, because Luke's supposed to be the everyman, but he goes through this growth and process. But you needed someone with all this self-serious mythology, the hero's journey stuff and the world building, someone that just is more relatable to a 70s audience to go, yeah, this is all kind of dumb. Can we just shoot our way out?
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Rise of Skywalker. Everyone hates the Emperor thing.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it. The second the music hit and the dead lives and the voice from I heard a collective groan in the theater. Everybody's like, what the hell is this? You know? And I'm just like,
clearly they didn't play Fortnite.
I'm more just
Corey.
Like, I'm gonna roll with this. All right. And maybe what it is it's like, kind of like you guys like the whole Darth Vader scene in Revenge of the Sith, all these nods to Frankenstein. That's why I like everything with the Emperor here. It is some of the coolest shots. I feel like Exegol is probably the coolest set piece in the newest trilogy. It's dark. It looks like a horror movie. Every time you're in that room, it's just gritty and gross, and I love it. I like the lightning. I think seeing like 1,000 Star Destroyers in the sky is also one of the coolest shots in Star Wars. And it's like, yeah, it did. They hit a weird reset, and I don't necessarily know why they hit a weird reset on it. I just like all three movies. But I think Last Jedi is the one that like doesn't fit. It's just a really great movie on its own. So, but because Kylo Ren's in all three, I think they connect enough that I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I don't know. I really like them. I also, you know, to me, when people talk about nostalgia, I get confused sometimes. I'm not a nostalgia guy.
Yeah.
But some people are like really into it. And so they're like, well, I hated Rise of Skywalker because it's just fan service and it's just nostalgia. And then those same people say like, Stranger Things is great because I love the 80s. And it's like, I'd pick a lane. I don't know. Yeah. I hate Stranger Things because it's just, it is fan service.
It is a heightened 80s. Like, because it's like when we had an 80s dance in college and all the people were wearing the Miami Vice stuff and then the Stranger Things look. But then like you and I think your friend Ethan Cox showed up in crop tops and jeans and stuff. And somebody that was from the 80s went, you guys are actually authentic.
Oh, yeah, we were like just ripped jeans and Iron Maiden shirts.
Yeah.
And Brandon Brister, who was in high school in the 80s, was like, you guys actually look like the metal shop kids from the 80s.
Right, yeah.
We're like, yeah.
No, to kind of, I guess to just counter conversationally, like what you're talking about, I do feel like at the same time, while Last Jedi feels different, there wasn't a lot to grow on. Like, the biggest flop is the Knights of Ren. Like, I wish we had had more. I was expecting a chase where Kylo and the Knights of Ren were going to come after our heroes. And then they went for the whole slow chase, kind of pulled by the string idea.
The Knights of Ren is, I think it's probably one of the biggest miscues of the original trilogy, because they're very, very like, again, that's possibly your Boba Fett's right there.
Right.
Like, they're mysterious. We want your, more. Like, why are they not just sent on
why
a
is
path?
There, why is there not a spinoff of
the Knights
of Ren?
Why are they not the Four Horsemen?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why are they just not sent?
Yeah.
You know, like.
And you could have even used them, like, in the Red Throne Room scene. I was watching that last night going, like, why these red guys? Why not just the Knights of Ren being fighting here? Like, that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been sick.
But I think we've talked about JJ's mystery box of storytelling, where he likes to present a lot of questions and then allow someone else to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And that's what he did with Lost. It's generally what he's done with most of his creative projects.
Well, I always said he's not good with endings. He likes to build something and then kind of walk away from it.
Yeah, he kind of struggles
and
with
that. And like, hey, I think Cloverfield's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cloverfield Lane was weird, and it's supposed to connect the Cloverfield Paradox or whatever they did.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's horrible. That's garbage.
That's because they just bought it and put Cloverfield on it.
And that's the thing, though. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's like he doesn't have a great track record.
No.
But
it's weird, and it's weird that they went with him for the third movie
because
I get the mentality of like, well, The Force Awakens was a $2 billion movie,
and people hated Last Jedi, so let's go back to what works.
What
it's just a studio position.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
all it is.
Yeah,
but from a storytelling filmmaking mindset, you're like, completing trilogies is a very
hard
task.
Yeah, it's tough. Absolutely.
But in hindsight's 2020,
Peter Jackson effed it up by giving me 8 endings. Hey, I was ready to go home.
Now hold on. but my point is like, why do you go for the guy that clearly the only thing he's finished is Felicity? You know,
I think the new trilogy suffers also from 2 things. Star Wars fans like to be fantasy bookers, because we've done it with all 3 trilogies so far.
Yeah.
Darth Maul should have lived. Boba Fett should have been, you know, more of a thing in the, you know, original trilogy, blah, blah, blah. And then I think once these new trilogies hit, dude, we are deep in the internet, and we're just not going to be satisfied.
I agree.
We're all going to think we can do it better.
Yeah.
And again, if you had kept TR 8R alive, if you had just gone with the whole internet thing and fan service that gives Finn a villain. And it's kind of a heartfelt villain, because they were bros.
Yeah.
You know, and one is sold out to the First Order, and the other one's leading the rebellion. Like, that's way better than cashing in on this Game of Thrones kind of tie-in. Let's get this actress in and never show her face.
It just shows, again, like, the lack of planning from 1 to 3.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It is that, but I'll also say this. It suffers because, for some reason, the same company was thriving with the MCU. You're like, how are the same company's made a 10-year, 22-film perfect franchise, for the most part. And they couldn't get Star Wars, like, between 3 movies, like, as cohesive. And I think it suffers from that, just from comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I think people were like, oh, man, like, just let Kevin Feige over here in Star Wars world and let him, he seems to think big, whereas with Star Wars, they're kind of like, just director, whoever wants it.
It was a weird concept. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's a really interesting point, too. I never thought about that, because Endgame came out in 2019, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got a really valid point there. I had never really thought about that.
Yeah,
about
we're getting
how
like a satisfying ending.
Yeah, which was, I mean, one of the greatest. I mean, I would argue one of the greatest endings too. I mean, it's Endgame is it's got its. I'm not gonna go there. But I never thought about Rise of Skywalker and Endgame coming out in the same year.
You also think about that they promoted the Rise of Skywalker as not just the end of the new trilogy, but the end of the entire thing,
the Skywalker
without
saga.
Acknowledging the prequel trilogy, which again it was still in that kind of we hate the prequel trilogy mindset. And then, but my thing. To really touch, I don't like to get into the nitty gritty like lore type stuff, but I will say one thing about the Emperor part is that him coming back, in my opinion, negates a lot of original trilogy stuff in the sense that Luke and Vader were the ones to kind of establish balance in the Force. My hope for the new trilogy was that it was going to be an affirmation. A lot of times they talk about revolutions in historical context, and oftentimes it takes 2 revolutions for permanent change to happen.
Yeah.
And so rather than like a physical manifestation of that, it was more like a balance in the Force where Rey representative, no, the Jedi and the Sith are both extremes. And there's a balance of that philosophy.
Yeah. And I like accept that. I think it's you could argue that, it feels like it undoes like the gratification Return of the Jedi on some degree. But at the same time, I always just kind of go back like, what else would they have done? If they had just done Rey as another Jedi going back and forth between a dark and a light side, we would have just been like, dude, we've seen this. We've seen it twice now. Like, so it's like they tried something.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's like also, and like, I should say that this is a really important thing also in this conversation is that I'm at this table probably the least of the Star Wars people.
I like Star Wars movies, but I don't, they're not my thing. Like, yeah. It's not like, I don't like, I grew up with them, but I never got into like an over fandom of it. Mm-hmm. I just think they're good. They're great. It's fun storytelling. I think they tell a cool story. So like you two that like maybe like as children, like really grasp onto it. To me, it's just another thing, yeah. You know, like, and I, it's just like, hey, these are fun. It's cool. So like, I should say like y'all's opinions are valid in like Rise of Skywalker feeling like it betrayed you on some level. But for me, it's just like, I had a lot of fun in that movie. It's like, I'm not as connected to like the lore and the storytelling as much as just like, this is a lot
of
fun.
You know what your problem, Corey, is? You have too much of a healthy look on filmmaking in Star Wars.
Well, it's just,
how dare you?
And my favorite moment, I think in all three movies is when the ship show up at the end. Yeah. Like, that's a feel-good moment for me. I'm like, this is great. And Wedge Antilles is there. Man, Wedge Antilles, he's there. He's like 80, and he's fighting. And I'm like, this is great. This is the best connection I've seen to the original trilogy in a franchise that keeps trying to reconnect, is one shot of Wedge Antilles showing up at the end. He is still flying an X-Wing, and he's still kicking ass.
That's... Ali, do you have any... I feel like we're taking over the conversation.
No, you're perfectly fine. It's like I said, I've only seen it once, so I'm trying to remember everything. But yeah, I mean, and your opinions are totally valid too. Just like I know that you mentioned that for us.
Don't
but, like,
say that, Ali. don't patronize.
Listen, I know Nick's not gonna. Yeah. For me, your feelings are valid because here's the deal: is that it's a movie that you really enjoy. It's a movie that you know has its issues. You're aware of its issues, and you know you're allowed to enjoy what you enjoy for the most part.
Which should be our PSA to all Star Wars fans.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Just enjoy it.
Try to enjoy it.
It's just here to, just have fun with it.
I hate Rogue One, and that's like, that became one of the most beloved Star Wars movies. I hate
now
it.
We have to
I
fight.
Hate
okay,
every second of it. You know
I
what,
take
though?
Back about opinions.
But guess what? But guess what? It's the best representation of Darth Vader,
than yes.
any other movie.
I will agree with that.
That movie got Darth Vader in 15 Dude. Seconds better than any other movie.
So good.
Because and here's
He's a monster.
Here's the thing, too, about that, is from a fanboy's perspective, from a young kid growing up loving it, prequels felt like they took a lot of the venom out of the Darth Vader character.
Yes.
With Rogue One, getting to see that was me being giddy again.
Yeah. Yes.
Taryn and everyone that went to watch it will be like, Nick looked like a crazy person because he was excited that Darth Vader was murdering people.
Well, you got to see him in his prime. You got to see why people are so terrified of
right,
him and why he has such a reputation.
Yeah.
It's great.
The last... kind of note generally I want to lead into like my stance on Star Wars now, like now that we've had this legacy sequel series come out and we've had all these spinoffs and stuff, and we see that replicated through things like Ghostbusters, like Jurassic Park, it's become very watered down to me. Like, to see, it's no longer exciting to see Michael Keaton in the bat suit, to see Bill Murray in the Ghostbusters outfit, and they keep trying to be like, give that, literally the Ghostbusters new movies trailer is just the Force Awakens trailer, the music, the tone and everything. It's like, remember this, it's like, guys, they're comedians that were fighting ghosts in New York City, guys. Like,
yeah.
But now with Star Wars, where I sit with it is like, I try to enjoy it. I do.
Yeah.
I, you know, the last movie removed, a lot of times with these spinoffs with Mandalorian, I've told Ali, and I think I've told you this before, it's like, I have to treat it like it's a Saturday morning cartoon.
For
in
sure.
The sense that I'm enjoying it. I'm not trying to think too deeply with it, so that when there are episodes that are great and just like some in Ahsoka or like that you get in Mando and stuff, or like
or
the
series
or Kenobi or the other series, my brain's
Andor.
Andor.
Oh, I haven't seen that one
I
yet.
Seen it.
Basically,
really
so when it hits those moments with me that connect, I'm like, this is really great. It's great. But when it's modern Star Wars, I'm not upset about it as much. So I have to. I'm just like, well, it's just fun. And that's generally how I have to try to look at it.
Yeah. And a lot of it is for kids. That's the other thing, too, that I think that a lot of people tend to forget is that, you know, especially the prequels, like those are for kids. Like, you know, it's kind of like, wasn't there speaking of Freddie Prinze Jr., wasn't there an interview that he did where he was talking about like, yeah, of course, you're not going to resonate with this as much because like these are,
right.
you know, the ones that you grew up with are different. Whereas there's a whole new, I mean, I'm fairly certain my nephews love the sequel trilogy. I'm never, ever going to tell them you're wrong.
Right.
You know, nothing like that. And you know, that's going to be their prequels, you know, and then
we'll wait until they're 20 and then we can let them down slowly.
Yeah. Just, not going to crush their dreams.
I mean, you're right. We're in franchise fatigue, which is why we do this Mary Sex Kill episode, is because we get to talk. There's franchises with 9+ movies and 10. And it's just like, all right, let's talk about this. And it's like, once upon a time, only porn and horror had like anything that went past 3, you know?
You're
like,
right.
And so, and now we're at this age where it's like, dude, we're on the 30th Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That's been being the same story being told since 2008, you know, and it's weird, you know, and like, and why is Indiana Jones still a thing? I don't know. But then again, I didn't like them in the 80s, so I don't like them as an 80-year-old. Well,
I think there's the legacy idea of trying to integrate all those former characters into the story, but you're not recasting them.
Yeah.
And Jeff Goldblum, Bill Murray, they're all 70 and 80 now.
Yeah.
And you can't do a lot with a almost 90-year-old Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to bring up, that's the problem with the Jurassic World series without like getting too into it is that the last movie, which I'm not going to get super into, but I mean, they brought back Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum, but then they tried to integrate them and tried to write this script that was geared towards a younger audience, but it just didn't work. It didn't work with their characters.
Yeah.
The movie didn't work in my opinion. And that's, it's that whole franchise.
There's also like this idea of like treating those characters with such reverence and a fear of actually killing them off. They do kill Han Solo, Luke, and Leia in the new trilogy, but a lot of times, like in those other franchises, they just won't, and you end up with nine characters are like Stranger Things at the end. So there's 20 people, and it's like, how did you all survive this? There's dinosaurs and literal things from another dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we're just in an age where it's like they still like the pop, you know, like it's Stone Cold's glass breaking, and you want the people to, and like there for a while, it's like that was a thing. It's like when a character showed up, it's like you lost your mind. Now it's not shocking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When like Luke Skywalker comes in at the end of one of the Mando seasons, it's like it's not exciting. It's like, oh, okay, it's Luke Skywalker.
But I will say a lot of it is also its presentation.
Yeah, yes,
you're forcing Mark Hamill into it.
Yeah.
So instead of giving Sebastian Stan or just a new no-name face, this is our new Luke Skywalker, we're going to ride with him because he's a great actor. It's giving less opportunities for new stories, for new actors, for new ideas to be presented when we keep relying on the same franchises that we've loved, but we need to let them be where they are.
Yeah. No, I think that's a thing, and I think they can still get it right, at times. It's weird. We all went to the new Spider-Man knowing that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were going to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still a special. I don't know how. It's still special. It was still cool seeing it.
Right.
Again, it's the only time I've liked Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is literally in this movie. I didn't like it in the first one, but this one felt special. And it felt like, oh my gosh, he's like actually getting to like, he's got meat in this role in this one. And it's awesome. And so
I think it's just about execution.
Yeah.
Half the time.
Absolutely.
It is what it is. Star Wars is like, it's now in that phase where for sure the fan base is never going to be happy because they're having to create new stories and new stuff.
Why can't they be more like Star Trek?
They're eventually going to have to go away. Like Trekkies love it all.
Yeah.
No matter what bullcrap nonsense they throw at the wall, they love it unanimously. They just, and I tried watching The Next Generation like during quarantine, and that is a weird effing show. It made no sense.
We're going to upset the Star Wars fans and the Trekkies in the same
episode.
My thing is, that's great that people love it, but I was like, what is happening? Like, this, I have no idea what was going on. Just three episodes in, it's like it jumped the shark 8 times. And this goes on for like 9 seasons. And I was like, what is happening?
If there's anything all Star Wars fans can agree on, it's their hate for Star Trek.
Yes.
Right? But I mean, it is what it is. And I think at this point, you just have to accept, like, you're going to like, you want more stories in this universe, or just stop watching and enjoy what you like that's already exists.
Exactly.
The best point someone made, Patrick Willems, YouTube guy that I like to watch a lot of, he uses comic books as a metaphor. He's like, when he watches a movie that he doesn't like in the Star Wars thing, he just goes, it's kind of like when he watches a run of Spider-Man or something, he just goes, that's just not canon in my head.
Yeah.
I'm just choosing not to accept that.
Yeah.
So
Boba Fett is Darth Vader's half-brother when I watch Empire Strikes Back. That's canon in my head. It makes those scenes more good.
I've never heard that before. I'm going to have to rewatch it with that mindset.
It's like weird Star Wars mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just,
I've never gotten into the,
And so it's just
ideas that just never got through all the way.
And my thing is, I watched like the first two seasons of Mando and I liked it, but at the same time, I just never said I watched three because I didn't even watch Book of Boba Fett. And I've been a proponent of that guy being brought back to life.
Corey's the biggest Boba Fett
fan, forever, but it's just like, I'm not interested in the story. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad he's alive. But like, I just don't need to.
Did you watch the one where he did come out of the sand?
Yeah, I watched like the first episode.
That's all you
needed.
That's
fine. And stuff like that. And I think that's why I watched Mando, because they had the helmet show up with Timmy Olyphant's character.
The episode
like,
with him and Robert Rodriguez directed it is probably.
I was
all
like
you needed.
In it. Yeah. I was like, and then once Boba Fett came back, I feel like that was closure for me with Star Wars.
That's fair.
I'm like, I'm done now. This is fine.
And I think people need to do that more often too. Yeah. Like, just because you say that you're a fan of something doesn't mean you need to consume everything that comes out, all the spinoffs and everything. If you just watch half of it and you feel resolved or whatever, go for it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, at least.
Allie can keep watching Jurassic Park 3, the best Jurassic Park. She doesn't have to watch Jurassic World.
I like Jurassic Park 3.
Jurassic Park 3 is so good.
It's
the best
one. Thank you.
Lost World is garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was bad. But
thank you. Okay, yeah. I feel so vindicated
now. Another episode.
So let's... Okay, so Mary Sex Kill Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I'm in.
Yeah. So, but yeah, for sure. This was a fun conversation. We're all still friends.
Thank goodness.
Hopefully, Star Wars fans listen to this and saw an adult conversation.
It can happen.
It can happen.
It's
you can
possible.
Just like what you like.
And, yeah, and just respectfully disagree. Yeah. Or
So. Yeah.
We definitely don't have guns pointed at each other right now.
No, we're good.
Right.
We're good. I'm going to go home and like watch Rise of Skywalker probably and be like, I don't get their hate for this.
Maybe I need to rewatch it.
So, Corey's really hiding it. He's going to go have a tear and cry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just has more to do with I don't know. It's not precious to me.
That's fair.
You know, type of thing. I mean, same thing with Lord of the Rings. It's not precious to me that I think the second one's the best. And
it's not precious to you.
Oh!
We go. Okay. All right.
Well, okay, that was Mary Sex Kill Star Wars. By all means, we're on social media. Tell us your Mary Sex Kill for
at
Star
Quantum
Wars.
Recast.
Like, I'm interested. Yeah, like, go find us at Quantum Recast on your social media choice. Whatever. I don't know if we ever check X. I'm not going there.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Nick goes down that cesspool and looks around. So, but yeah, tell us your thoughts on our. Don't tell me your thoughts on mine. I just feel like I have an unpopular. I feel like I have unpopular opinions. But tell us what you think and tell us what yours are because we are curious. If someone says Attack of the Clones, though, we're gonna unfollow you.
we're gonna block you.
No, we're kidding. But thanks for listening. We'll be back with a future Mary Sex Kill at some point with some franchise. That'll be a lot of fun. Maybe Jurassic Park, Allie.
That would be fantastic.
We'll figure it out. We got to go to the board. But thanks for listening. Say goodnight, Nick.
Goodnight, Nick.